Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Progressive Britain podcast. This is the review show for episode 40, Brexit on the Rocks. I'm Progress Deputy Editor Connor Pope, and I'm joined by our digital editor, Sam Bright. I went away on Saturday, just after the government's big Brexit checkers accord, where Theresa May tied down her hard Brexiteer cabinet colleagues to a marginally more realistic starting position for the negotiations with the EU. Obviously, it seems faintly ridiculous that it took over a year after triggering Article 50 for the government to agree a starting point, but I guess it was progress of sorts, I suppose. Now, like I say, I've been out of the country since then, but I presume what has happened since then is that Theresa May has done a few major interviews to promote the agreed stances, possibly a set piece speech, and has utilised supportive quotes from the likes of the Foreign Secretary and the Brexit Secretary, who are both obviously big players in the Leave campaign. That would have put the Prime Minister in a strong position ahead of the inflatable giant baby Donald Trump arriving in the UK to discuss post-Brexit trade this week. Is that roughly how it's planned out?
Yeah, no, you've pretty much got that spot on, Connor.
I'll be completely honest. I've not yet listened to the podcast from earlier in the week. So if that goes against any of that, then I have no idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't listen to it now. You might be quite shocked.
So what has happened?
Just everything has happened, Connor. And I've had to deal with all of it.
So obviously I've been following it a bit. So David Davis resigned late on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Presumably that was to miss the deadlines for the Monday
papers. Yeah.
And from what I could tell, quite an actually principled position, a terrible principle, but a principle nonetheless.
Yeah.
And then Boris Johnson resigned the next day.
Yeah.
For not very principled reasons.
No, the funny thing was that you might not have caught was that Boris Johnson was sort of submerged for a number of hours in his house, missed various different very important meetings that you have when you're foreign secretary, which sort of built the speculation to a point where he really had to resign, or else it would look even more embarrassing than him resigning.
Okay.
In a classic Boris fashion, he then reappeared with he'd just thrown a shirt on and brushed his hair.
I saw that he press released, he got a picture taken of him signing his own resignation letter and press released that, which is pretty remarkable and certainly kind of suggests different sort of attitude to resigning. I mean, obviously, I love the fact that David Davis finally resigned. It has been one of the great dramas of the summer for me, along with England's World Cup run. I think David Davis and his weekly threats to resign.
Yeah.
And then some other people resigned.
Yeah, yeah.
Who?
I had no idea. Ben Bradley, the guy who doesn't like chavs.
Right,
he should have
been sacked ages.
He should, like most of the people who've resigned. And then someone else.
Maria Caulfield.
That's it, yeah. The speculation was that one Brexiteer was going to resign from the cabinet every day.
Or from the front bench, presumably, rather than the cabinet.
I
don't know. I genuinely don't know.
I don't know either.
It seems to have been a few days without resignation now.
Yeah, well, they made an excuse that was, Theresa May's out of the country, and so nobody else is going to resign for a while. And it's like, well, that sort of reduces the impact a bit, don't you think?
You still send her an email. I'm sure she'd get it. Now, obviously, it'd be really embarrassing if she got back to the country and didn't realise these people had resigned, but I don't think that's the way the world works. I saw one person resigned as a PPS to I can't remember to who, to a cabinet minister, and then sent his resignation letter to the Prime Minister, despite the fact that PPSs are not appointed by the Prime Minister. It would be like if I resigned and then sent a letter of resignation to Theresa May.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with her. She'd be like, why have you sent me this?
That would be really funny though. And then if you then posed for a photograph.
As I did mention about the Donald Trump visiting the UK, me and you will both be out on the anti-Trump marches today, Friday. I think we'll be on the marches, but are we going to be meeting anywhere for the rally?
Yeah, we'll be at 2 o'clock. We'll be in Parliament Square for the end of the Women's March. So if you're around, feel free to join us.
So anyone, do drop us a message. We're at Connor@progressonline.org.uk or Sam@progressonline.org.uk. Do let us know if you want to come and meet us there. Now, this might sound like a tenuous link, but I think it's really interesting that Trump is arriving this week, because he obviously epitomizes some of the worst aspects of nationalism that we've seen, you know, increasingly over the past decade or so. The division, the hatred, and the kind of retrospection, the backward looking focus of it all. Whereas the England football team, what has come out of that at this World Cup feels like a kind of progressive idea of patriotism has emerged from it. Kyle Walker, the defender, who's from Sheffield, not far from you, and he has a Jamaican father, like a lot of the squad, has heritage from different countries and is a kind of, you know, a product of immigration, as it were. He tweeted yesterday that we might live in a time where sometimes it's easier to be negative than positive, or divide rather than unite. But England, let's keep this unity alive. I love you. I just wanted to get your idea. What do you make of this idea of the English patriotism that seems to have emerged over the past few weeks?
Yeah, Kyle Walker, MP. PM Southgate, yeah. MP Kyle Walker. Yeah. No, I think they've really been model professionals over this past few weeks. And I think they've actively, and not just Kyle Walker in this quote, but Southgate has done it quite prominently. He's talked about unity, about bringing the country together after Brexit. Mm. They see that football can do a lot more than just make people, than just entertain people. Mm. It kind of has a wider significance. And like you say, there's been a lot of talk on social media in particular, a lot of positive talk about the diversity of the team. I think Dele Alli's heritage is from Nigeria. Mm. You know, Raheem Sterling, we all know, from Jamaica.
Harry Kane's family from Ireland. I know that his cousin was appearing on Good Morning Ireland during the World Cup to talk about his and the England team's success, which I thought was particularly interesting. So I watched most of the games in London, but I watched one game in Bilbao with some expats. But they're expats who have lived there for a long time and very integrated in their local community. They speak fluent Spanish and they're really opposed to Brexit because they're not sure what it means, especially because they're not sure what it means for their rights. But also it changes their kind of idea of the country back home. Mm-hmm. And usually they don't meet up to watch England games, but they did. They, you know, they asked a local bar to stay open during this siesta period on Saturday afternoon. We all met up there and watched the game. They think that there's something different about this team and that makes them like them a lot more.
Yeah.
Like I say, I watched most of the games in London, but that was definitely felt like a thing in London as well. You've watched a few games in different parts of the country. Is that something that is it existing across the country?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think that, like you say, we want this team to win because we like them, not as people, as human beings, not just as football players. Mm. And I was at my sister's wedding last weekend, which meant that I missed the Sweden game, the one stress-free knockout game of the competition. Yeah. But people were really trying to see how the team was doing, and there was a special announcement when the England team won, and people who, you know, not really football fanatics, wanted to cheer this team on because they see them as a bit different, and I think a bit less of a macho team as well, which I think some people have really identified with, that they come across as relatable. They don't seem arrogant or, you know, or your stereotypical footballer is portrayed in the Daily Mail, for example.
Mm. My partner was at a railway station on Wednesday night, and when England scored, they did an announcement over the tannoy, and all the people on the platform cheered. My mum was also on a train at the same time. She had it streaming on her iPad, I think, and people started kind of crowding round to watch the game. Which, you know, and it's really interesting that people who haven't necessarily taken the efforts to make sure that they're sat in front of a television somewhere to watch the game are still actually taking an active interest in the success of the team. I think that is particularly interesting. Yep. There's also a psychological aspect of this, I think, which the Gareth Southgate has put a lot of effort to make sure the players enjoy the tournament and that there isn't the same amount of stress and try and relieve the anxiety of the big stage. Essentially, this is the importance of mental health on a successful team, isn't it? And given the age of the squad, the average age is 26, this is a kind of success for the millennials, isn't it? Do you think something in that?
No, I think so. I think definitely. But I would say before I comment further that we are kind of claiming this England team as progressors. If they hadn't got to the semi-final, perhaps we wouldn't. But I think big credit has to go to Danny Rose for this because he came out before the tournament, did a couple of interviews where he talked very openly and honestly about the problems that he'd suffered, the mental health problems that he'd suffered as a footballer. And I think him being such a high profile player, this will really open up conversations in local clubs, hopefully, about, you know, the ordinary everyday mental health problems that young people face.
Mm. I think it's actually on that note, the top scorer in League Two this season is a guy called Billy Key, plays for Accrington Stanley, who won the league. And he started the season suffering from depression himself. He took a bit of time out of the squad. He went and worked on a family member's bricklaying company for a few weeks and then only came back to work at the club when he felt that he could. And I think the team were very understanding about it and, you know, actually look at the success that he's had since then. And it's important that he had that room and he's spoken very openly about it since. And it's a really incredible story. But it really does feel that actually in football, which is this very macho, masculine culture, things are really starting to change there. And I think that is a really important and possibly the biggest victory of this World Cup, actually, is the culture.
And I think one thing as well is that hopefully people will recognise as well within this conversation that not only can football create mental health problems in some circumstances, but in a lot of others, it can help. You know, it is a way for people to relieve stress, relieve anxiety. And hopefully we will have a really wide-ranging public discussion in future about how it can help and how it, you know, might be detrimental for some people.
Absolutely. Right, we should probably try and wrap up. But first, we've got the answer to the political pub quiz question.
We have,
So what question do you ask this week?
I asked, what was Dominic Raab's favourite sandwich? Dominic Raab, obviously being the new Brexit secretary. And Alistair Harding got this correct.
To be honest, if you'd asked who's the new Brexit secretary, I'm not sure I would have got that right. Pleased that you spelled that out.
Yeah, no. You've really got to listen to our podcast.
Yeah, okay, I'll catch up.
But Alistair Harding got the right answer. So it is a chicken Caesar and bacon baguette from Pret. Alistair actually made sure to tag Pret, hoping maybe that they would verify that this is the case.
Yeah, but Dominic Raab, he has that sandwich every day, does he? Something like that?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Wow, that is remarkable. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's fine as the sandwiches go. But anyway, Alistair, do make sure the email office@progressonline.org.uk will stick a progress mug in the post for you. And to all of our listeners, do remember to send in any comments and questions to that email address. Do leave a review, rate and subscribe on iTunes so that other people can find this podcast too. We'll be back on Tuesday. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Progressive Britain podcast with Connor Pope and Richard Angel. The music is When in the West by Blue Dot Sessions, licensed under Creative Commons, and this episode was produced by Carolyn Crampton.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.